welcome back to another episode of the Good Advice Podcast. You're tuning in to another great episode where this is actually a pretty special episode. This is an episode where it's part of our round two series, but this isn't a round two conversation. Oh no. And it's not even a round three conversation. This is, for the first time ever, a round four conversation with the man, the myth, the legend, the Zach Messler. Now, if you don't follow Zach on LinkedIn or on social media, you need to. I'll go and tell you that when I think of like the top five people that I love to follow, whose content is always so compelling and gets me just thinking about my own business, I would tell you that Zach is easily at the top of that list. I love talking with this guy, which is why I was so keen to bring him back so many times on the show. All that to say, if you've been thinking about the perfect message to describe your business or your services, you're going to love this episode. More importantly, make sure you check out Zach's website at zachmessler.com. But before we dive in, we got a quick word from one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the podcast. We'll be right back soon. And don't forget, you can always check out our Patreon as well, where you can support the podcast for as little as the price of a cup of coffee. That's at patreon.com/goodadvice, or you can email us, blake@goodadvicecoaching.com, for advertising. Talk soon. See ya. There's one single piece of advice that I give to business owners who are ready to scale their business drastically. And that's knowing exactly what you need to hand off so that you can continue focusing on what you're an expert in. It amazes me when I talk to business owners who are doing their own bookkeeping and tax prep, and worse, that they're going through all this paperwork at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, even midnight, slaving away trying to make sense of all of the numbers for their business. Business owners who are making it happen have already figured out that you can't do it all yourself. That's why I recommend Steve Lay with Equity Business Solutions. Not only is he an expert in bookkeeping and tax prep, but what I love about Steve is that he'll sit down with you and help you make sense of the value of your business beyond just reading a spreadsheet. You'll be able to make better decisions, and more importantly, you're going to save yourself the crucial time you would have spent going through QuickBooks or an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it is that keeps us up late at night. So save yourself some time and some money by giving Steve Lay a call at Equity Business Solutions, and he'll show you the value beyond your numbers. Go to EquityBusinessSolutionsLLC.com to find out more. Zach, my friend, welcome to the show today.
Blake, it's so good to see you. It's so good to be here.
It's been too long. I feel like every time you come on the podcast, I'm just like, I need this to be a regular part of my life. Just talking with you, you have so much like bottled clarity, and just like, I feel like I cork the bottle whenever you and I sat down, and I get just a taste of the goodness that is Zach Messler. So it's great to have you on the show again.
Well, thanks. You're making me blush. I appreciate that. That's really fun. I'm really excited to be here. I'm gonna go. I have a different take on clarity these days than I did the last three times I was on the show.
And you're one of the only, I think you and one other person has been on the podcast. This is round four. I don't know what happens when we get to 12 rounds, you know, if you're like allowed to come on again after that, maybe I just give you the show. I don't know what happens at that point.
Oh, but guest host. I could guest host. There you go.
So
I'll tell you what, I'll host and I'll interview you.
Okay. Yeah, sure. But yeah, so for our listeners, if you haven't followed, I'll say a couple of things. If you haven't followed our round two, round three, now round four series, typically whenever we have an amazing guest who comes on the podcast and people like him so much, they want to hear him again, we bring them back for a follow-up conversation. Zach has been on the podcast a few times now. This is his fourth time on. And Zach, and you've heard the intro to the podcast, but I'll just go ahead and tell you, no one understands clarity, messaging, strategy like Zach does. There are a few people where I'm on LinkedIn and you see so much content on LinkedIn these days, but there's few people like Zach where pretty much anything Zach posts, I'm like, yep, 100%. That's right. So if you've been thinking about selling more of your stuff, connecting with your buyer, clarity on exactly what it is you offer, you're going to love our episode today. Having said that, Zach, we're at a high note now.
Now we gotta actually deliver. Let's go. On what we're talking about.
It's the roller coaster going up.
That's right.
Clacky. Here comes the ride.
Bro,
here
I gotta tell you, I do not like roller coasters. And
really,
it's like PTSD, like the little clink, clink, clink of the metal. So
I have a story for you about roller coasters. It has nothing to do with clarity.
My wife and I went to a roller coaster park, and I did all of them once, you know, just to not make her do it by herself. But then I definitely I think the park closed at midnight and she was still riding roller coasters till midnight. I mean, it was late.
So there is a tie-in from roller coasters. My story didn't have a tie-in, but there is a tie-in from roller coasters to clarity for sure.
Okay, tell me too.
We'll get there. Well, one of the things most people think of clarity, like what do you think of when you think of clarity with messaging, what I'm saying, what do you think of? I used to think the same things. I'm pretty sure I know what you're going
to
say.
My mind goes to, it's a direct line between what you're good at and what someone else needs. You know, it's
clarity of offer.
Clarity of offer, clarity on what you'll do for me. I feel like, I think sometimes so much of that is obfuscated around like really pretty like marketing buzzwords. You know, Okay. It's kind of like the Office Space movie.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, what exactly do you do here? I think sometimes with like, when we talk about offers, I'm just like, okay, what is that even? And I'm guilty of it too. I was just having a conversation with a customer this morning on like punchy offers. And I was like, my LinkedIn says scale your business. What the heck does that mean? I was like, I'm the one who's having problems. I'm giving you advice. I don't even know what I'm doing here. So, you know, I think anytime someone has to ask like, okay, but what is that? Or like literally what is that? I think that is a sign of a lack of clarity.
So you were going down a path where, yes, this is exactly what I want to talk about. And then you took a turn and you drove right into the target I was hoping you'd hit.
Okay.
Which is, I think that most people, most business owners, most marketers think of clarity as I have to be understood. And because of that need to be understood, the idea being if I'm understood, then people are going to get what I'm offering and they're then going to get what I'm offering. A lot of talk out there talks about, oh, the key to clarity is getting simple with your words.
Mm.
Oh, you got to dumb it down. That's not it. That's not clarity. That's the tactical piece. That's a tactical piece of becoming clear, but that's not clarity. So clarity is getting to the essence of what it is that you're offering. What's the essence? But it's more than just that. It's more than offering. I thought through this because I used to say, and if you went back to the first episode and probably the second that I was on, the first one was 68. That I looked up. But if you went there, I don't agree with myself now. I don't agree with what I said back then. I said that business communication had to be three things. It had to be clear, compelling, and convincing. And I think those are all different shades of the, what's the phrase? Different sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Different shades of the same color. I think clarity captures all of that. Because clarity isn't about being understood. Clarity is about being perfectly understood.
Mm.
To get there, there are five levels of clarity. I created a pyramid out of this. It starts with some of the stuff you talked about. It's clarity of offering. So this is, what is it? What is it really, right? What are we really selling here? What does it do? How does it do that? That's clarity of offering. 90-something percent, I would guess, of business owners have a good sense of what they're offering. Sometimes they don't recognize what they're really offering, but if they think through it and are strategic about it, they could figure that out pretty easily. The second level is clarity of audience. So this is, who are they? What makes them tick? What's their day in the life look like? Right. This is getting close with your customer, with your audience, with your buyer.
I feel like a lot of business owners are stuck on those two things.
Yes.
What do I do and who do I sell it to? I mean, I don't know if you're going to get to this, but the real danger that I run into is people who they think they have those two things answered. And then you have a conversation and you're like perfect example. I was talking to a guy who I was saying like, well, like who exactly do you sell to? And he goes, you know, people who use the internet. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
well, that's hang on. That's like 3 billion people. Like that can't be.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that can't be it. And I've used this example before too. Someone else, same conversation. I said, I was trying to kind of figure out more about their business. Like, well, who do you sell to? And they go, you know, people, you know, I was like, well, I know a lot of people. And I know some people who wouldn't be at all a good customer for you. And some people, maybe they would, but in his mind, he was like, yeah, I figured it out. I know my audience. But then when he verbalized it, it was like, wait a second, something's.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I'm for myself, I'm terrible at this for myself, mostly because I'm like that guy. What I do is foundational. It legit works with everything,
mm-hmm.
but I can't go to market with that message.
Mm-hmm.
So I started focusing in on my own offer, right? I, as they say, niche down by offer and focused in on clarity, but that wasn't enough. Then I focused in on founders and their teams, which has worked largely. Mm-hmm. And now I have different segments. I have different offers for different segments. And that allows you to talk to people specifically, get in their brains, but still be able to serve multiple audiences. But it's complicated. You have to make sure that all of those segments, all of those messages for those segments fall underneath that essence, that core message that talks about why you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think of it for me, I mean, what I sell to like the younger business owner, younger meaning like they've been in business for a year, is often very different from what someone's purchasing who's been in business for 10 years. Now it's
sure.
It's all part of good advice. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not like helping someone replace their roof versus like, you know, selling ads. I mean, it's not like two different worlds. It all, at least in my mind, it all fits under the same banner. Maybe if you ask my customers, it wouldn't.
But, oh, sure. But then also it's getting, you could segment your audience even more. Right. Mm-hmm. If you have retail customers,
mm-hmm.
customers selling a retail service or a retail products, then the language that you deliver to that audience should be about their world in their world. Mm-hmm. And how is that world different? B2C. Maybe how is that world different than a B2B world or a service versus a product? You know,
mm-hmm.
I call everything a product, but
yeah, no, I feel the same way.
Differently. Sometimes people look at it differently, mm-hmm. and it's not about what we think; it's about what they think.
Mm-hmm. So what's
the most important thing? So those are just the first two layers.
Yeah,
so
which already clarity, I'm like,
yeah, clarity I'm of like, offer and clarity of audience. Most business owners have at least a good sense of what those things are. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they don't get it or they think they have it and they don't, but they feel like they have a good sense. But there are three more layers of this pyramid going up. The next one's clarity of problem. Anything anyone buys, anything, I don't care what it is, anything that anyone buys, a product, a service, an idea, anything that anyone buys solves a problem. It has to solve a problem. That's why they're buying it. And the pushback I always get on this is two things. I don't get it anymore because I say this. A pack of gum. I just want a pack of gum. What's the problem? I don't have a problem. I just want gum. I don't have any gum. There you go. There's your problem. Your problem is you want gum and you don't have any. There's nobody around to ask if you could score a piece of gum. So what do? You go to the store, you buy a pack of gum. Great. You've satisfied that craving.
Mm-hmm.
Have your pack of gum. Mm-hmm. Is it loose? Sure. But it's still a problem. The other one I get is like a fancy car. I like saying Ferrari, but I mean, it could even be like a Tesla, right? Why do people buy a Tesla? You don't have to spend all that money to buy a Tesla or an EV for that matter. You can get other EVs that are less expensive, but that's not why you're buying the Tesla. You're buying the Tesla or the Ferrari, as the case may be, because I don't feel as cool as I could feel if I was driving this car. It's a status thing.
Yeah. The and problem
is, I don't feel as cool as I could if I was in this car.
I guess I don't even really understand the pushback to that. I mean, maybe I'm too just like, I don't know. For me, in both situations, they don't feel like extremes to your illustration. It's like in both situations, there's a very clear problem that you need solved. So whether it's a pack of gum to the Tesla to, and I'm fully with you, everything in between, you know, I think, you know, someone is, especially when we talk about like high ticket offers, like, you know, with gum, you know, we're talking, you know, under a buck, you know, yeah. If you're selling a product that's like $8 on a shelf, this might be a little bit of a different conversation in terms of like urgency of problem. But absolutely, someone is buying because they have a pain point they want solved.
Well, yes. And even B2B, especially B2B, especially B2B. There's not really a difference. I mean, I've heard before, oh, these are consumer products. I don't sell a consumer product. Of course, you don't sell a consumer product, but you 100%, no matter what you're selling, you sell to consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's a consumer.
Yeah. And don't you feel like sometimes like people, sometimes when I get in these conversations, I feel like people have like over complicated this conversation where it's like, oh, I'm B2B. Oh, well, you know, I'm B2C. And it's like,
for sure.
I guess it's value in the sense of like your strategy of like identifying who your customers are, how you talk to them is going to be different than how you maybe talk to the average, like retail buyer, for example. But at the end of the day, you're still selling something, but sometimes it feels like we have so much like clunkiness around these meaningful conversations because people really get on the weeds of like differences between markets.
Well, yeah. And it's people think B2B is different, but it's not. It is different. Well, let me rephrase. Let me rewind. It is different, but so let me take a step back. I grew up in the tech world, right? I grew up as a product marketer for enterprise tech, for B2B tech, for SaaS, whatever you want to call it. In that world, you have buying groups. It was true 20 years ago. It's true today. You have buying groups. Depending on how big the company is, it could be a small group of executives. It could be have a whole team of procurement officers. I mean, how people buy in B2B is different than how people buy in B2C, for sure. But then again, even within those segments, if I'm buying a pack of gum, it's a lot different, as even though Tesla sells in malls and stores like that, it's different buying a pack of gum than it is buying a $80,000 car. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Different experience. You have different steps. Oh, I got to think about it. Oh, I want to take a test drive. Oh, it's different. Gum, you go in, okay, it's gum. But B2B, getting into B2B, all of those people are still consumers, each and every one of them. And so it's important on the front end to appeal to that. You know, it's not really a meme, but the kind of a meme going around. It always goes around. Every few years, you see it again. It's not B2C. It's not B2B. It's H to H, human to human. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of contrived and goofy. And it's true. It's true. You're selling to people. People are consumers. They're all consumers. But anyway, let me get back to the clarity.
Well, I want to ask you a question about this specific level.
Okay.
And maybe you're getting to this, but someone who struggles with understanding, like you're solving a problem, what is that? Because I'm also pretty interested in, and I mentioned it a second ago, it's like the person who they think they have their audience nailed, but they don't. And I wonder how many people listening are like, yeah, I know my customers have a problem that they need solved. So like, I feel like people like at a high level are like, oh yeah, of course. But like on a more granular level, someone who struggles with this, what does that look like?
They're not talking to their audience. Typically they think they know, but they haven't had any conversations with their audience.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that you can be successful to a certain point and, you know, you have good intuition or you're just, you know, you're good at messaging, let's say, or you know your product so well, you'll get a certain portion of people who are attracted by product only, for sure. But typically that's a sign that they don't really get clear with audience and with problem.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, I'd been in the leadership and consulting world for a while, but I'd never sold in it until I started Good Advice. And I remember one of my very early sales conversations, I was talking about like this management, this leadership piece. And I said something like turning your employees into high profit employees. And the concept that was in my head was getting the most out of your employees, like where they're not like a drain on your cash flow or your overhead. And someone I was selling to, she was like, you know, I don't really talk about my employees as high profit. Like your language piece, it doesn't really make sense there. And I was trying to like make like a marketing buzz to it, but because I hadn't sold before and I hadn't been in this conversation with my actual customer, I was talking about the pain point all wrong.
See, and that's a combination. It's clarity of problem. You had clarity of problem. What is the problem? What are the impacts or what is the problem?
Risk?
How does that problem show up?
Mm-hmm.
That's clarity of problem. Clarity of audience includes lingo. Mm-hmm. What's the lingo they use to describe all this?
Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
Right? That's lingo. So clarity of problem. The next thing after clarity of problem, next level, is clarity of outcome. And it's outcomes, really, right? What happens?
Each level you add to this, by the way, just makes me more nervous for myself. Nervous isn't the right word. I'm like, ooh, I probably need to look at that.
But clarity of outcomes is not just outcomes. What happens when they work with you? They have the problem that you solve.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when they work with you? What do they get? It is what do they get. But what happens when they don't do anything?
Mm.
What happens when they have this problem? What are the effects of that problem? What's the overarching business impact of those effects?
Mm-hmm.
How does it show up?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if instead of going with you, they go with a competitor?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Does the same thing happen? How can you differentiate? Does the same thing happen? Is it better with you? Is it worse than you? It's important to be really honest with yourself doing all this work and figuring it out. I'll say to clients all the time, I do something called a message clarity intensive, and we answer three questions together, essentially. It's a little more than that, but we're getting crystal clear with the product and we're connecting it with the audience. But to do that, we have to get clear with the five levels of clarity, and we do that. It's a live one-on-one workshop, and we do that, and my clients leave with a narrative. Usually new top-level messaging for the website, and then just crystal clear product and sales messages that they can implement and use right away in sales materials, in marketing materials, all sorts of stuff. So anyway, with outcome, it's if your competitors do something better than you do, it's important to be clear with yourself what that is. Because if you're not, you just come across as delusional, you know, that's not to say that I would focus a message so much on the competition. I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mistake I learned way back in my tech marketing days. I worked for a company who had this one competitor, and it was the big, you know, 80,000 pound gorilla in the industry. And they focus so much on this competitor, they would just copy stuff that they do. And it would never work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Never work for them because they are not that competitor. They don't have clarity of audience, of problem, of outcome like this competitor had. So anyway, offering, audience, problem, outcome, again, all outcomes. Working with you, doing nothing, working mm-hmm. with you, What are other options, other ways, alternative ways that they address their problem?
Maybe I'm having trouble like disconnecting this from like marketing statements, but like one of the things I run into with like the outcome conversation is, and maybe this is more internal, maybe you're actually clear on, you know, what you're accomplishing with your buyer, but from like a verbal point of view or like a marketing spin on it, it feels like so many companies are overplaying this topic. Here's the example. It's like, hey, if you work with me, we're going to take you from $0 to $1 million in revenue in 8 days. You know, and I'm sure your DMs are like mine, you know, where you just have endless sales, you know, hey, this person, we took them from $0 to $360,000 in just 2 weeks. Like, it feels like they think they're clear on outcome, but when I get sent that, I'm not clear on the outcome. I see a money sink.
You know what that is? That's like the fine print, right?
Yeah.
It's not typical.
Yeah. Right.
And I've done my fair share of boot camps and communities and all this. And I've heard that. It just, especially in the entrepreneurial community, that's really big to do, you know, get really specific about what you're doing. And that specificity becomes 2X your business in 3 weeks or like, come on, you sound just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and pointing at one cherry picked example, okay, anybody could do that. But that leads to an erosion of trust down the line. Because if you're selling that, but you're not giving everyone that, well, that's going to be a problem for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Okay. Let's hit that last top.
The last one. This is the one that everybody has the most trouble with. It's clarity of feeling. It's clarity of feeling. Buying is emotional.
Mm.
We make decisions. I mean, you look up basic neuroscience. We make decisions based on emotion. We validate them with fact. If you look at most websites today, most of them, like selling something, most websites for entrepreneurs, for small businesses, even for big businesses, that first headline is going to be something about their product or what their product is or what their product does. It's almost always what that headline is. Maybe not as much in B2C, but like we said, everyone's a consumer. The formula I like is some emotive message up top that speaks to my audience in the words that they use to describe the feeling that they have. It's emotive. And then that subhead right beneath is what it is or what it does. My favorite one, and it's unfortunate the company's not using it anymore, just because of they just shifted markets and shifted their audience, so they changed everything up. But it was for a tech company called CoreCare. And what CoreCare used to do is they worked in the long-term care space. They sold to long-term care facility owners, mostly facility owners that had between 15 and 25 facilities that they owned. In that world of healthcare in the United States is, well, I won't use the language on the podcast. Let's just say it's kind of a crap show. I don't know. Can I say shit on your podcast?
Yeah, you can.
It's a shit show. It is a remarkable shit show, because what happens is to get, as the industry coins, reimbursed, which is really just getting paid for the work that they did, they have to file claims with insurance companies and the government, depending on insurance coverage of their patient, the people in their long-term care facilities. Think nursing homes, right? When that happens, all of those systems, all the portals that are used by the government, by these companies, they're mostly old. They don't really talk machine to machine very well. If there is a discrepancy in the data, that which could come even from somebody keying in something wrong, a claim can be spit back, denied. The thing is, and it can happen for bigger reasons, but the thing is, you don't know why something is denied. They don't tell you. And so you have a choice. You can spend the money on your employee, whose job it is to get you reimbursed, to get you paid, spend their time trying to figure out where's this data discrepancy or what's the problem. Or you can write it off and say, okay, you know what, I'm writing this off. We don't have the time, whatever. It's cost of doing business. Back when I was doing this messaging work, according to HFMA, the Healthcare Financial Management Association, per facility, each facility on average in the United States of this size, wrote off $5 million a year. You do the math on that. They have 10 facilities, 20 facilities. That is a lot of money they're writing off, a lot. So what CoreCare does is its technology uses AI and machine learning before AI really blew up, but it does. It finds out where the discrepancy is. And at the time when I was working with them, it told you exactly what to do to fix it. You know, down the road, their roadmap at the time, and again, they've shifted their focus, but their roadmap at the time was the AI will just fix it for you. And so in talking to their audience, and this is the step that so many marketers, so many founders, so many business owners skip, because maybe they don't know how to do it, or they don't think they have to do it. They don't even think about it. In speaking with their audience, speaking with their customers, speaking, you know, sitting in on sales calls, those first few meetings, you hear how people are talking about the problem that you solve. If you ask questions in the right way, you can pull stuff out of them. And what we heard all the time was, I feel like I'm fighting. I feel like I'm in a prize fight. I feel like I'm fighting just to get the money we deserve. We did the work. You know, it's so frustrating that this is the system. So the headline became, it's not about CoreCare. It's about their audience and what they could do. The headline became, stop fighting, start getting paid.
You shared this. You shared this.
Did I on the podcast?
No, on LinkedIn. Maybe months ago or something.
Yeah, I did. I come back to it every so often. But stop fighting.
I loved it, though. Yes, I love that.
Sure, there's copywriting techniques in that. But what that came from was, what don't they want? I don't want to fight. What do they want? I just want to get paid. Okay, stop fighting. Start getting paid. And then that very next line was, you know, CoreCare is blah, 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 blah. And what we said, what it is, the essence of what it is. Instead of what they started with was the easiest way to wrangle your data. Guess what their audience didn't talk about at all? Wrangling their data.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. How do people get there, though? And I say, how do people get there knowing that I've been that person, though? Like, where you really get on it's like a fever dream. Like, you're going so hard in the paint on, like, this way you describe what you're selling that is so disconnected from how your buyer feels about it, thinks about it. I mean, is it just a lack of communication? Is it just not talking enough to your customer?
Yeah. I think so. That's part of it. It's thinking you know, and you don't.
Yeah, that's you know. And that's you really don't. Good. And that's dangerous.
It's one of these things too, where let's say you did a bunch of audience research a year ago, and you feel comfortable. Guess what? Is it the same?
Yeah.
I don't know. You better be continually taking note of this stuff.
I like this too because. There's a great book called The Mom Test on, and maybe I can't remember if we've talked about it or not, but it's all about, and I can't think of the author for some reason off the top of my head, but it's, let me actually look this up real quick. The Mom Test by Rob Fitzpatrick, excuse me. So basically what this is all about is on this simple step of communication, how so many business owners shirk away from it because they are so personally invested in the business that they don't want to hear that the way they're talking about it, thinking about it, even like what their product looks like. They don't want to be told that it sucks. You know, nobody wants to be told that their baby's ugly. Right. And so, which I even had this phase with my son where like everyone we ran into for like a month straight was like, oh, I love his haircut. And then I was telling Joy, my wife, I was like, do you think his haircut maybe is really bad? Like maybe people are, just being like, oh, his haircut. I love it. But point being, it's the book is called The Mom Test, because when we have these conversations, more often than not, we go to people who really care about us, because we know they'll be kind to us, that they love us. I was talking to someone the other day about some advice that he had gotten, and I was giving some opposing advice. And what it came down to is I said, look, everyone that you've asked about this are all people in your corner. So naturally they're going to, yeah, it sounds great. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so punchy. That's so witty. But like, how many actual conversations have you had with your actual buyer, your actual person?
Well, that's right. That's right. There's a correlation of that too, where people go, they stretch it out and they'll go to like their LinkedIn. You see it on LinkedIn all the time. Hey, what do you think of this? Guess what? Most of these people aren't your buyer. It doesn't matter what they think. But it's a postulate of, it's a postulate of another zinger, which is, what we think as founders, as business owners, as marketers is interesting and completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
What your relatives and friends and LinkedIn connections, unless they're who you're selling to, think is interesting and completely irrelevant. Should not base your messaging off of what your buddy say.
Yeah.
What your LinkedIn friends
yeah.
say.
Somebody asked me one time what I thought about a product they had, and they said it was for empty nester moms in their 50s. And I was like, what about me looks like that to you? And he was trying to just get some outside opinions. And I said, you know, I appreciate you asking, but I really would be the worst person to ask. Like, I literally have no clue. Taking my advice would be a bad move, because I would not have
look
the first,
at it this way. Look at it this way, right? This is all of this. It's so important to put yourself in the shoes of your buyer and really understand the world from their perspective. Look at it as like being a method actor. What do method actors do? The one that
Daniel
comes
Day-Lewis,
to mind,
I think about.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't think he's even in the game anymore.
He's retired. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he would become his character. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It's not just understanding your audience, become your audience. Look at the world from that perspective. It's not easy to do. We all have biases. You got to shed those biases. That's why it's often good to work with someone else who doesn't have the bias that you have about your company, about your product. It's so important to be able to look at the world through the eyes of your audience, of the people that you want to buy your product.
We've had a guy named Ben Gutman on the podcast. I think his book is called Simply Put, but he talks a lot about fluency, like speaking the same language. Like we're cut from the same cloth is how it should feel, I guess.
And that fluency is a good way to think of clarity of not just offering an audience, but problem of outcome and a feeling.
I love that.
And it's feeling, it's just like outcome is outcomes. It's really feelings. It's the emotion of it. What's the emotion of having the problem and the outcomes, the effects of that problem, the impact of those effects? What's the emotion that comes with working with you and addressing that problem? The effects, what are the effects of addressing that problem? How do those effects make me feel as a fill in the blank of whoever it is that you're serving?
Well, Zach, we're coming to the end of our conversation. This has been amazing. For people listening who are like, okay, I need to figure these things out, what's the best way for someone to work with you?
Oh, sure. Well, actually, I have a special offer for listeners of this podcast only, which is I'm giving away a free messaging consult, 45 minutes. We're going to go through your offering, your audience, problem, outcome, feeling, and you'll leave with a lot more clarity than when you start. I do also, that's at boomshakalaka.com. It is SHOCKALOCKA. I always spell it phonetically. Boomshakalaka.com. So that's exclusively for the Blake Binns Good Advice podcast listeners.
And I've been in a group call with Zach, and a workshop he was doing. And I have to tell you, Zach, seeing you work, it's brilliant. It really is. Like, just as someone in a call, like watching it happen firsthand, like it went from like, oh, I love Zach, I love what he talks about, to, oh wow, he's like really good at this, actually. Like seeing you work with someone one-on-one and just like the way you ping and pick up different elements of like even on their website and how they talk about it. I mean, it's really something cool to see. So I think that's an amazing offer that you're giving our listeners.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, I love being on the show, and it's been awesome just watching you grow this podcast.
Thank you.
Year after year, your consistency is incredible.
Stubbornness.
It's an amazing podcast.
I appreciate that. Well, we got to do round 5 sometime later this year and just keep the numbers.
Good.
Keep it going up, you know?
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, remember, we get to round 12. I'm interviewing you.
That's right. Well, hey, for our listeners, I'm going to put Zach's website, boomshakalaka.com, in the episode description. Definitely take him up on his offer. It's an incredible offer that he's giving just to our listeners on the show. And hey, if you're a first-time listener and you enjoyed the episode, what the heck are you waiting on? Click the subscribe or follow button so you can keep getting good advice wherever you are. Don't forget, if you're a business looking to advertise, you can always reach out, blake@goodadvicecoaching.com, to find out more. That's today's good advice. Zach?
Wait.
Yeah.
One more thing, and I'm going to do the ask, because Blake clearly isn't. If you dug this, give Blake and Good Advice Podcast 5 stars, will you?
Oh, thank you. All right. We'll catch you guys later. See ya.